Joining us in the studio now is Dave Wirt of Grand Marais. Thanks for joining us today, Dave.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Well, one of the reasons we asked you in is we want to talk about your recent honor flight experience. But first, I want to know a little bit about your military service. What was what branch were you in?
I was in the Marines.
Marine Corps, okay. Yeah. And could we ask where and when did you serve?
I went in July of 1968 and went through boot camp, some training at Camp Pendleton, infantry training, and went over to Vietnam in January of 1969 and left my base in Vietnam in An Hoa on December 26th of 1969, probably left Vietnam the next day or day after. So it was all the entire year.
That date seems kind of etched in your memory, the date you left. That was a good day when you left?
Yeah, I was kind of hoping it'd be a couple of days before Christmas, but, you know, it is what it is. So
right, right. And what did you do? And what was your job?
Infantry. Okay. I was a rifleman in a rifle company. So
wow, so out
in the field. Yeah, we worked the area south of Da Nang, which... there's several different regions there, but the main one is called the Arizona Territory. And that was a lot of rice paddy lowland type of stuff where this area was typically the staging area for attacks on Da Nang. So our area was to, you know, try to do what we could to prevent that from happening. We also worked along the Laotian border up in the mountains, working the offshoots of the Ho Chi Minh Trail. So some fairly high elevation stuff. I mean, it was only, 3,000-4,000 feet on some of the mountains, but it was interesting terrain up there, triple canopy, jungle type stuff. So
wow, very different from, and you were living in Minnesota when you entered the service?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so very different from our beautiful, cool Minnesota climate.
Yeah, we don't have as many palm trees and fronds and things like that, but yeah. Right. And some of the critters are, our critters are different than those critters there. So
definitely. So you were a pretty young guy when this
19. Yeah. When I was in Vietnam, I was 19.
Yeah. Oh wow! I asked some of the other veterans about their experience with the food. Like, what was food like? A lot of sea rations, or what was? How did
yeah.
you?
Yeah. They would chopper out a hot meal once a week. Otherwise, you typically eat sea rations. And you weren't out there, you know, in the bush the whole time. You'd go out for a week, 2 weeks, maybe a little bit longer, and come back in, spend a few days back in An Hoa, which was still a forward operating base, but it, you know, we're under rocket attack and so on. But, you know, it wasn't always in the middle of the jungle eating sea rations.
So, okay. So. Well, and are you in touch with any of the folks that you served with?
No. Uh-uh. It's, I got involved with the Veterans Administration at one point, and they talked to me about the Vietnam experience. I went, well, what's this all about? And gave me some literature. And they talked about the Vietnam experience was in contrast to many operations, typically a military unit goes to a scene, combat scene, as a unit. And then they come back as a unit and are replaced by a unit. And in Vietnam, the unit would be there for years and years and years, and people would rotate in and out. And so this article that they had talked about the solitary experience of the veteran, because you were going into a unit that you didn't know who they were, didn't know anything about them, and the goal was to survive that year, 13 months originally, and then you would rotate out, but meanwhile you're leaving people behind. And so it's a different relationship than like my son had going into Iraq. He went with his unit and had trained with them for months and months, but it's a different experience.
Yeah,
so. And they don't really do it that way anymore. So
I guess I'm glad. I'm sorry anyone has to be deployed, but I'm glad maybe that they are doing it. I think they learned, the United States, mm-hmm. the military learned a bit from the Vietnam. And one of the things was that Vietnam vets weren't necessarily welcomed home as other veterans have been.
Yeah, I know that that happened. I didn't have any negative experiences when I came back. So there was none of this, you know, spitting or chanting or ranting or any of that sort of thing. So
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Okay. But I wonder, how did it feel now let's switch to the honor flight, and how did it feel to be amongst all these military guys again?
Well, I think that was the value of the trip, really. I mean, monuments are monuments. And I've been to Washington, D.C. a lot, so I've seen most of the monuments that we visited. There were a few that were built since the last time I was out there. But, you know, after we got back, it was the camaraderie, I guess, with everyone else that really stood out. And it was nice to see the World War II and Korea monuments, because I had never seen those before.
Those are newer, yes. Yeah. And now the Vietnam Wall, I hate to ask, but I'm going to ask, do you know some of the names on the wall?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I know, you know, people in my company who were killed. I never went to find their name on the wall.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a big wall.
Well, I mean, it can be done, and I have memories of them, I just never searched that out. Just the wall itself is kind of a daunting experience. So
all right. So did you know the other Cook County folks that went before you went on the honor flight?
Well, yeah. It was odd because I hadn't seen a couple of them for quite a while, and I didn't recognize them right away. And then finally, it all came together after one of the meetings, you know, pre-flight meetings that we had. And it was like, oh, geez. Sat there and looked straight at Arvid, and just like, he looks familiar, but I couldn't make it click inside my head. So
that's nice. You had a nice connection then when you figured it out. Yeah. Okay. And what is this like now? You take off in the morning from Duluth, right?
Well, we all stayed there the night before, so you didn't have so far to go. But I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to catch the shuttle at 4:30 to be at the airport at 5 o'clock. And you know, there was like a box breakfast or box lunch for breakfast, whatever. Had something to eat there, and then finally got on the plane, flew to Washington D.C., landed at Reagan National, and that was kind of a surprise there, because there were literally hundreds of people lining the concourse, and all had placards, or many of them had placards, and, you know, the thank yous and the whole works and a band, and can't remember if it was on the way there or on the way back. There were bagpipers, you know, it's pretty interesting. But when I say hundreds, long concourses, and they were lined the whole way. Wow. We had to walk to get to the staging area to go on the buses. So that was a surprise to me. So
that's nice. That's really nice. People come out and want to just show their gratitude.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you kind of mentioned the monument. It's the people more than the monuments, perhaps. But was there any special monument that you want to talk about?
Well, I think the monuments are great. The World War II, that's a pretty large-scale monument. The Korean one was smaller and more subdued, and the Korean one actually felt more like Vietnam to me than what I knew about Korea. Of course, I was never there, but, you know, all I picture in Korea was, you know, frozen, icy, snow-covered mountains
right.
and that sort of thing, and this was more of a flatland type of monument type of thing, but it was both of them were pretty neat. So there were some emotions out there, and you know, I got to talk to some guys that would get choked up about things that you know, their past memories, and that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
One man in particular, I don't know that he was ever in combat, but he was in the Army. Exactly what year, I don't know, or what years. But he was part of the Army's Presidential Honor Guard.
Oh.
And they have a barracks in Washington, D.C., near the White House, I believe it is, somewhere in that area. And he would talk about how President Eisenhower would just drop in at the barracks and sit down and talk to guys, you know.
Wow.
And he would get all choked up about that while he was talking about it. So.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, but neat. A lot of meaning for a lot of folks on these mm-hmm. honor flights. So what do you think of this program overall? I mean,
well, it's really neat. I felt like maybe someone else should go than me because, I've been there. I was doing the math, and I've probably been to Washington, D.C. 20, 25 times. And I had family out there, so I had places to stay. And even after I came back from Vietnam, I was stationed out on the East Coast in Rhode Island.
Okay.
And one of my buddies, he lived in Baltimore, so... So when he would go visit his family, he'd drop me off in Washington, D.C., and I would see my relatives there. And we did that several times during the time I was out there. So,
well, it's kind of nice in that way to revisit.
Yeah. So, you know, to revisit the community was nice. But, you know, again, it was the people you were with out there that was, I think, the best part. So.
The best part. All right. Well, I've been speaking with Dave Wirt of Grand Marais. I forgot to say former Cook County Sheriff Dave Wirt of Grand Marais about his honor flight experience and some of his military service. Anything else you think people should know about honor flight?
I think the one people that haven't been there get a chance to see something that they probably couldn't even imagine, the size of the, not just the monuments, but the city and the city that houses all of the government functions is pretty enormous. And, you know, when you come from Grand Marais or Silver Bay or Grand Portage or wherever, you know, I think it's almost probably overwhelming. But I've contributed to the honor flight in the past, and I'm going to contribute again.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And help somebody else. And it's all contributions. VFWs, Legion clubs, and various, I think, corporations contribute to it. So there's no cost to the people that are on the flight. A veteran that's going out, the whole thing is paid for through contributions. So there's any government funding in it at all.
Yeah, I don't think so. So it's a great program.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you so much, Dave, for talking to us today, and thank you for your service.
Yeah, you're welcome.